Okay, you're on page 397, 398. Yeah. We are starting the third letter of Egeris Akotis, Peric Gimel as it's called. And this is the next bunch of letters are fundraising letters.
Okay.
And it's not just your typical fundraising letter where you get, hello, this is a really horrible place. Look at these horrible children who could help and make their money. No.
Yes.
This is the Alter Rebbe.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, conveying of sublime ideas.
Yes.
So all of these letters that now are coming up deal with the sublime accomplishments of giving charity. And it is most expressed in this one.
Uh-huh.
Chapter in Peric Gimel.
Oh, really?
Simon
okay.
Gimel. Yeah. Interesting. I just noticed that normally it's referred to as Simon Gimel, and I'm looking in your book, and it just says Gimel. In mine, which I have like from the 1973 edition,
it says Peric. Yeah.
Because these are not Peric. These are not chapters. So it's interesting that in later editions they took out the word Peric from
Peric,
all of them. Although, it's just the first couple, because I see 17, 14, 11, I don't know what the deal is over here with this. This is the first time I noticed it. Seven, 1 through 7 say Peric, and after that it doesn't say anything.
Oh,
so,
right.
Interesting. Okay, page 398. So, starts with a pasuk, which deals with the idea of charity. It's a pasuk from Isaiah. It says, "Vayalbesh tzedakah kishurin kaveya Yeshua baraishai." He wears tzedakah like a coat of mail and a helmet of salvation on his head. Okay. And Dershu Rizal, our sages tell us, Mashirian Zeh, Kol Klippa Viklippa, Mistarefis Lashirian Gadol, that the coat of mail that we're talking about was in the times of Isaiah, with a kind of like you remember in all those like Victor Mature movies, was little scales of metal, which were hung around the body.
Right.
Lots of little scales.
Yeah. Took him about 2 weeks to make that, plus or minus 10 years.
Yeah, so just all of these little scales. It says so that just like one of those, one little scale of metal isn't going to do a whole lot to protect you.
Right.
But if you have thousands of them draped around your body, then that acts as a coat of armor.
Right.
So, av tzedakah, so too it is with charity. Kol pruta upruta misterefis l'cheshbon gadol. Every penny adds up to a large amount. This was a big thing with the Rebbe's tzedakah campaign. When back in the mid 70s, when the Rebbe started that specific one of the 10 mivtzayim, so the emphasis that the Rebbe had was on pushkas. Because what's a pushka? Put a pushka on your desk. Put a pushka in your kitchen. There should be a pushka in all the kids' rooms.
Right.
That there's two things here. What does a pushka do? It, first of all, it gets the person used to the idea of giving. So even though it is that a person's only putting in pennies or nickels or whatever, quarters, into the pushka, it's a small amount. But that itself just teaches the person the idea that there's such a thing called giving tzedakah. So that if it ever comes around and a person's in a place where larger amounts of money are not so significant to the person, they have this idea that they know that about giving tzedakah. This was one of the big things with the UJA, the Jewish Federation. Every house when I was growing up had the little blue box.
Had a blue box.
Okay. Yeah. What was the ideal? It wasn't. Now, how much did they actually make the UJA? They probably made money from it. They weren't doing it for to. But what it did was is people got this idea. Oh yeah, we contribute to the UJA.
Right. So okay. When they called,
what, so they called. Yeah, of course. I remember the UJA, that type of thing. Yeah, so that was what that is instills it. Now the current federations have problems because they went away from the Pushka thing, because going around collecting the Pushkas costs as much money as what you usually get in the Pushka.
Right.
So, but what happened is they realized that their support base is gone, and they're trying all kinds of things to get these younger people who aren't used to this idea of giving in a federation. Now they're jumping through all kinds of hoops. They're playing baseball with them. They're playing dodgeball with them. They're having bar nights with them. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they just don't know about this idea about giving because they went away from the Pushka. That's why the Rebbe very much emphasized the giving, the idea of a Pushka.
Gee, at the end of the day, the Pushka's got to be cheaper to do than all the other programs, really. You know?
Equal. Pound foolish, penny wise, what's the expression? Something like that. It's obviously, this is the people, the Judeo-bureaucrats sat and debated about this point for quite a while.
Yeah.
When they stopped with the blue Pushkas.
I'm guessing they forgot the spiritual dynamic in that.
So then there's that goes without saying. So then the other thing, though, is that every time you do a mitzvah, you're doing a mitzvah.
Sure, of course.
So in that be the case, then, it doesn't matter if you've written a check for $5,000 or you gave a quarter.
Right. Still a mitzvah.
Because you're doing a mitzvah.
Right.
And so like this, if we can encourage people to do the mitzvah on a daily basis, so they're doing the mitzvah. Does that mean you should not write the check for $100,000? No, you should still write the check for $100,000. Okay, anybody interested in doing that, they can go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, click on the other, put in $100,000. Right. It's all PayPal, it's safe and secure. Right. Anyway, so the idea is just that the connection with Hashem that one makes by putting in that quarter happens every time you put the quarter into the Pushka.
Right.
So if a person, every time that he's thinking to himself, I'm doing this, you don't have to do it just once a day. You could do it 12 times a day. Every hour, you put a quarter in the Pushka. It's a new hour. I'm putting in a quarter without getting neurotic or compulsive about it, you know, so.
Okay. It's one of the compulsions that you may be
having. Fallen roses is probably a good one.
So the thing is that just like the code of mail, it says that when you're talking about the connection, so it's only a quarter. How much godliness can you get for a quarter? And the answer is quite a lot.
All of it, yeah.
Quite a lot. Yeah. Okay, but it's still only just a quarter's worth. And it's only just for that amount of time. Okay, but you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. So it all adds up. Just like it is, if you fill up one of those little blue boxes with pennies,
right,
back in, say, 1963,
right,
it came to a nice amount of money. It was, you know, you could get $12 worth of pennies in that thing. That was a decent, 1963, that was a decent Pushka, right?
Yeah, that's a fair amount of change.
Okay.
Those days.
So after the period of rhythm, Mr. Raphael Zuchashman Guttel. Upirah shahashar nasir kikas kasas al nakavim. Because what happens is what's a shari on this coat of mail is that you're making these scales to cover over holes. The hay magidim, they protect shalichnetz chatz binakevim, so that an arrow doesn't enter into the holes. Kahu maisa hatzdaka. So too it is with the deed of charity. That the deed of charity is covering over all the little holes to make sure that the arrows don't get in. What does that mean? Rubi or inyan ki gadol tzedakas mikol hamitzvus. That tzedakah is the greatest of all the mitzvahs. Now, he's saying this because this is a fundraising letter. If he would be writing about tefillin, then tefillin would be the greatest mitzvah. If he's writing about tzitzis, then it would be tzitzis. If he's writing about studying Torah, then studying Torah would be the greatest one. Now, I'm not making fun over here, nor am I criticizing. But every mitzvah has its quality,
yeah, its own quality
that it's right. unique to it
right.
that makes it
the greatest,
sure. equal to all the other commandments.
Sure, sure, of course. Yeah.
And what you're able to accomplish, so I don't know, maybe there's a dozen mitzvahs that it says way equal to all the other mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, Shabbos.
Right. Tzedakah.
Yeah, Talmud,
Shalom.
You know.
Peace between them.
Yeah, yeah, Shalom, yeah, yeah. All these things, you know, so there's a whole bunch of them. Okay, so Shemahem Nasim Levushim Lahanashava Ham Nim Shachim Ma'orin Say Baruchu Mabachinu Sovu Kalamun. That the mitzvahs become garments to the soul. And where is it that the garments are coming from? They're drawn down from the light of the infiniteness of Hashem in a way of soviv kol omim, in a way of encompassing. And we explained the difference between mamali kol omim and soviv kol omim in the first part of Likutei Morim in Tanya in chapter 48 and 51. The deal is that it says schar mitzvah mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah, that the mitzvah, the word mitzvah means to connect. So the reward for being connected is to be connected.
Be connected, right.
The connection.
Okay, and so how is this done? This is done in a two-fold way, a two-mannered way, both internally and also in a more encompassing way. As you're going to say over here, that what has to go into the making of this quarter is that there's a whole Seder Estalshus, there's a whole process whereby the somewhere in the ground there's this vein of silver, and the silver has to get mined, and it has to get smelted, and it has to get minted, and it gets turned into a quarter. Okay, so there is a specific godliness which is enlivening this quarter, as is true with every inanimate object. Okay, now this person grabs this quarter with their hand and puts it into a pushka. So at this point now, what the person has done is redirected where its life force is coming from. Because up until that moment, this quarter was deriving its nurture through Klipas Noga.
Right.
As is the case with everything,
sure.
which is neither holy or unholy.
Right.
It's Klipas Noga. Now that he's used it for a mitzvah, that quarter has taken on holiness.
Kedusha, yeah.
Does that mean that you have to bury the quarter? No. That means you have to give it away to a poor person. Who then uses the quarter for whatever mundane purpose they feel required to use.
Right.
Okay. So the... So you have this godliness, which is being conveyed from, it's like an energy transference, from the energy which is in the person's arm into the quarter that's going into the pushka.
Right.
Okay, there's a certain energy there. And since now this energy is being directed from Kedusha, so everything's just got to fit just right. The person has to be able to pick up the quarter with their hand, the quarter has to fit into the pushka. Okay, everything's just got to fit. That's called a malik halomit. And the chayas, which is coming now into this mitzvah of tzedakah, is coming through mamali kol omim, the godliness that enlivens everything. How much? 25 cents worth. Because that's what the person gave.
That's a lot.
It does whatever it does. It's not as much as 50 cents worth.
But in the Shemayim, you told us it's like a reverse portal.
Okay. Yeah, but at this point, what we're doing is the godliness is contained into the thing. And the smaller a thing is, it's got, you know, I'm going to say, does a taller person have more or less godliness than a shorter person? I'm not going to go there. But when you're doing a mitzvah, and the mitzvah has limitations to it, so the godliness which you're connecting it to is limited to the limitations of that thing that you're using.
True.
So if you're giving 25 cents to tzedakah, the connection is going to be less than if you're giving 50 cents to tzedakah. Okay, that's because of the connection which is made in Mamalik Halamin. Then there's a connection which is made in Sovev Kolomin. Sovev, he translated back in 51, as not being encompassing, meaning surrounding, like an aura. We don't do the aura thing, that's not us.
Okay.
But rather, it's the godliness which is enclosed in the thing, going through the process of creation again, but one whereby the initial integrity is maintained. It's just sort of lessened, you might say. With Mamali Kol Omim, so the godliness, not only is it lessened quantitatively, it's lessened qualitatively. So that the godliness in a person's brain, you might say, the life in a person's brain is on a higher level than it's in their foot. Proof, a person can live without a foot, a person can't live without a brain. Okay? Here, the godliness with Soviv Kol Omim, it's this, you could say, if you put an amount on it, it's the same amount, so to speak. No, excuse me. It's not the same amount. There's less godliness going through the creation process. Mm. But it maintains its integrity of having the same quality.
Mm.
The idea of how much do you want something. If you have a specific detail of an enormous project, and that one detail is something that you don't want, then it affects that you don't want the whole project.
Yeah.
Okay? Your idea of this whole enormous thing is that it should be in every detail the way that you want it to be, and then this right. is what your rutzon is.
Right.
So you have a general rutzon for the whole entire project. But then you have a specific rutzon for detail A and detail B and detail C. But what is the project more than just the whole composite of all these little details? You're taking a step back and not looking at the details, the tree before the forest, or the forest before the trees, whatever the expression is. Mm. And looking at the whole picture. But the whole picture wouldn't be the whole picture without all those little details. So if it would be that one of those details would change, it's only just one little detail that's being changed. I don't want that little detail, but that affects the whole entire rutzon.
Right.
That's called Soviv Kol Omim. Okay? So it's a minor detail by the time it turns into that quarter, but it's conveying the whole entire big picture of Lasis Lo Yisborach Dir B'Tachtonim, of making a dwelling place down here for God.
Right.
Okay, so he explains. B'yisirusadol tata hu mitzvus Hashem v'rosan elyon baruch hu. That this is all instituted by an arousal from below, which these are the mitzvahs of Hashem, an expression of Hashem's divine will. The quarter is going to stay a quarter, is going to be nothing more than a quarter as long as it's still sitting right there. It doesn't achieve a level of holiness until you put it in the pushka. Meaning that this arousal, he calls it in fancy jargon, the arousal from below. What does the arousal from below here mean? Get off your duff, you do something. That's what arousal from below means. Since it is that Hashem made the world such that it is currently not a dir b'tachtonim, it's not a dwelling place for Hashem, and then put us into it and said, okay, clean up the joint. So it's not clean until we clean it up.
Right.
And therefore, this is what he means when he says, b'iris is l'tata. But what is it that the person is doing? So it's just a little thing. It's only just, I'm just putting a quarter on the pushka. But what is it? It's ratzon ha'elyon baruch hu. It's Hashem's supernal level of wisdom, which is a precursor to the creation process, such that it says, Chochma ma'ayin de keser tematze, that wisdom, which is the beginning of the creation process, comes from keser, comes from ratzon. So this is pre-creation process.
Right.
And that pre-creation, since we're saying this is Soviv Kol Omim, that maintains its integrity. That pre creation, which is the act of tzedakah, is maintained all the way throughout the creation process, all the way down to a quarter in a pushka. Is there more of it if it's $100,000 that's given to a cause? No. At that point, not. At that point, it's the one act of giving. Because what happens to the quarter?
Cycles.
It gets spent.
It's like nitrogen.
And what happens if a guy needs a quarter, how soon is it going to take him for him to spend it? It's going to be gone really soon. But if a guy needs $100,000, how soon is that going to get spent? Listen, if this charity requires $100,000, it's probably already spent.
Right.
Okay, so once it's spent already, once it's given, the act is complete. It's one act of tzedakah.
Yeah, okay.
And is therefore connecting, both of them are connecting equally, you might say, into this level of Ratzon Ha'Elyon. And Sovev Kol Omim that we're talking about, they're both the same. The quarter, the $100,000, because at that point it's one act. They're both one act. If you're talking about Memale Kol Omim, so this one gets 25 cents worth of godliness, this one gets $100,000 worth of godliness. Because there the godliness fits into the specific act. And giving $100,000 is quote unquote a greater act than giving a quarter. So as far as quantity goes, they're both the same. It's one act. As far as quality goes, $100,000 is more than 25 cents. The Iker Hamshacha Zum Orin Say Borahu Hula Vush V or Makif Liud Sphirus Da Abia Hamishal Shellus Mi Ilula Olam Madregala Madrega Venikras Bishem Amalikalami. The main derivation of the infiniteness of Hashem is this garment which is the encompasses the 10 spheres, which are drawn down from a cause and effect from a level to a level, which is called Mamali Kol Omim. Normally, when we're thinking Mamali Kol Omim, this internalized godliness, so we're thinking like, for example, a soul and a body. And we're thinking, when you're thinking godliness, we're thinking it must be that in order for me to be alive, so there has to be this creation process which allows my neshama to come down and to be able to relate to a physical body. That's how we normally think of things.
Right.
But here, that's not what he's saying. Here he's saying, where does the mamali hit first? The first thing that it does is it hits Chachma Vitzilus. Chachma Vitzilus also has to be enlivened.
Right.
And Chachma Vitzilus is enlivened in a very specific, exact way. Mm. If it's not enlivened that way, not Chachma of Atzilus, it's something else.
Right.
Okay, and that's the way it is with the entire creation process, that the godliness comes through, enlivens that specific level, because each level in the entire creation process is needed for something. It's how how the godliness is contained and comes down to us, such that, I can't do it necessarily with Chachma per se, but with Chesed, so you have Chesed of Atzilus, which is just undefined giving. And then in Bria you have the Malach Mechoil, who's this camp of 186,000 angels, and they're all trying to direct kindness from Chesed of Atzilus to the lower worlds. And there it goes into the chariot of Yecheskel, and you have there the lion on the right side, which is also an expression of kindness. Don't get hung up with the ox being on the left side and the lion being on the right side, and the ox being kindness and the lion being severity and the lion being kindness, because they cross going down. It happens sometimes. That has to do with something that's called the Yud-based Gavuli Alak sign, which instead of it coming down straight, So it comes down on a diagonal, so to speak. Don't even think about it in those terms, because godliness doesn't travel on diagonals or straight. It doesn't travel. It just, right. It's nostalgic. Okay? So it happens sometimes that godliness kind of switches in the middle on the way down. That's what that whole business is about. And then, how does it come down? Into this world, sugar. Sugar is an expression of kindness. Mm-hmm. Even though it's going to rot your teeth, but that just shows too much kindness is not a good thing. But when a person, people are drawn to sugar, being drawn to and liking and being happy about something is an expression of kindness. And that kindness is also expressed in this world in other ways, with water, a smile. It's also an expression, a love, expression of feeling of love. All of these are all drawn from chesed of etzilus. Okay, but you can't say it's an improper, incongruent, and doesn't make sense thing to say. Which do you love more? Your mother, your wife, your daughter? Or chocolate brownies? Okay? You can't answer that question. Okay? Because the relationship with all four things is different. It's a whole different process. And you can't say more in that instance. Okay? So that's how the godliness comes down. And it descends from the level to level until it's enclosed in that physical thing. That's Mamala Kalonim. Upirish ki or ainsav borahu mislavish umeir betech kol histalshulus esesirs da avia hu hamatzil ha esesirs da silus. Meaning to say that the infinite light of Hashem, which encloses itself and illuminates within every step of the creation process, the 10 spheres of the four worlds. This is the emanator of the 10 spheres of Atzilus, Hamistal Shalus Labiya, which is causing to be drawn down to the lower worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, Al Yidei Tzimtzum Os Atzum Kamavur Ve'Eitz Chaim V'Nikra Or Pnimi. That, why do we call it Or Pnimi? Why do we call it the internalized light? Internalized energy, internalized godliness, is because it happens to be in everything in a revealed way. You can see the chayas in everything. You see a person walking and talking and breathing and thinking, hopefully. You see animals walking and breathing. You see plants growing. At least comparably speaking. You sit there and watch the grass grow, right? Anyway, and rocks, if you put them under enough of a microscope, you'll see things spinning around inside of them too. Okay? So everything there's obviously the godliness, the life force, which is inside a rock, is much more limited than any human being. That means that it has to have been processed more. Okay, but it's still coming from, ultimately it's coming from the Ratzon Elyon, it's coming from the divine will. Why is that rock here? Hashem wants it to be here. It's all part of the, it's one of those details that Hashem wants to be here. And so Hashem is enlivening this thing so it can function as a rock. Valide kima mitzvahs nimshuch or makif hanal umeir teicha eser siris da abio misyachad ima or pnimi v'nikri yichud kuchabricho shchein tekemash v'machamacher. Then what happens? So now, we have this other system of godliness, which is causing things to exist. It's not revealed within them. It's just the expression of godliness as a detail of the divine will. So what happens then when a person does a mitzvah? They're actually drawing down that greater level of godliness, which is not revealed within the thing, and drawing it down so that it is. Such that you know, not that you'd be able to examine or explain it to anybody why it is that way, but you know, in looking at a pair of shoes and a pair of tefillin, you'll know that the pair of tefillin is holy.
Yeah.
Okay, why? Because someone told you it's holy. Okay, then you have this feeling that it's holy. And it's holy whether you feel it or not, by the way. But
right. I was just going to say, it's inherently holy.
It's inherently holy.
Yeah.
Okay, and the law states that you cannot put, even though it's made exactly the same thing, you can't put them on the floor, and shoes don't belong anywhere except the floor. Right. Like from one end of the extreme to the other. Okay, so what you're doing is now, is why is that? Is because now that they are tefillin, you're drawing down this higher level of godliness from the will of Hashem. Does Hashem want you to have shoes? Yes, Hashem wants you to have shoes. Why? So you can go do mitzvahs with your feet without getting hurt. Does Hashem want tefillin? Yes, Hashem wants tefillin. Why does Hashem want tefillin? In order that there should be a hamshachas adalad meichin, that you're able to draw down a level of divine intellect into the world. It's a whole lot different than shoes. Even though they're made out of the same thing. So what happens then is to facilitate that desire, so that desire for that, whatever that mitzvah accomplishes, or the general the purpose of making the world a better place, making a dir b'tachtonim, is now enclosed within that physical thing. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it holy. With putting a quarter in a pushka, it's very transient. Because as soon as that quarter reaches a poor person now, sitting in a pushka for 10 years, right. Okay? As soon as it reaches a poor person's hand, he can spend it any way he likes. It's not holy anymore because it's not being used for a holy purpose until it's used again for a holy purpose. So we say, that one act, was that one act? That's called, he says, Yichud Kutcher Brichu Ishchinte. We say that every day in davening. A couple times, different places, people say it. Okay. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the male aspect of Hashem as creator, and Shechina is the feminine aspect of Hashem as creator. And in order for there to be a creation, meaning offshoots, there has to be a unity, a unification of the male and the female, as the case may be at this point, the mashpia and the makabel, the giver and the receiver, in a unity such that it's able to be productive and fruitful, so that when you're putting on, when you are doing the mitzvah, there are accomplishments happening in the physical world through the spiritual mitzvah. So it says that the fruit of the righteous are their maisim tovim, their good deeds. Okay, because what is it? Why we call it fruit? Because of the whole process. How do you get fruit? You have to have a flower, and there has to be pollination, and there has to be growth, and then finally get a fruit. So with the mitzvahs also, you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the pollen, a Shechina, which is the flower. Then you have the tefillin, which is the growth period, whatever it is, happens to be the mitzvah, happens to be the tzedakah. And then that produces the desired result, having a good positive effect on this world. And then, along this whole creation process, finally, he says, finally, this divine will has contracted itself, contained it itself, so that it can become a garment to the soul in Gan Eden. What are the souls doing in Gan Eden? They're sitting and basking and enjoying the ray of the divine presence. Right. How much divine presence do they get to enjoy? It is dependent upon the mitzvahs that they did in this world. Because with each mitzvah the person does, he's putting on another layer of sunscreen. And so the more sunscreen you have, the more clothes you have on, the less likely it is that you're going to get burnt by the sun, or the more you'd be able to sit out in the sun and not have any adverse effect to it. So like this, with every mitzvah that a person does, they're able to relate to the Shekhinah better. That's why you have a person like, for example, the Alter Rebbe, the author of this letter, who said, Gan Eden, jump change. Not interested. Rays of godliness? You want me to be happy with a ray of godliness?
Ray.
I want the whole thing. Tzama lecha nafshi.
Right.
I want the whole thing. Don't talk to me about Gan Eden. And this is even Gan Eden Elyon. What's the difference between Gan Eden Tachlin and Gan Eden Elyon? I think we talked about this when we were doing Egeres HaTshuva. Yeah, exactly. That depends how you're doing the mitzvahs.
Right.
If you're doing the mitzvahs, it's an expression of natural love, so that's an expression of the lower Gan Eden. If you're doing it out of an intellectual expression, which is affecting the emotions, so that's the higher level.
The Ramchal talks about like the ideas of like different levels, like you were talking about, like different levels of like Gan Eden, like some, he says some of it's going to be like almost like living like in this world, so to speak, like it's going to be more of a, like less of a spiritual, like more of a,
mm-hmm.
more like three-dimensional, I guess, existence.
Right.
Is that like what you're talking about?
So, I wasn't thinking about those terms.
No.
And I hope, you know, one of my fears of Mashiach's coming, it says that, you have this idea of every house should be made into like a shul so that you have Mashiach comes in. Again. So it says that how is it that all these Jews are going to come back? They're going to be able to live in Israel. So it says that the Kedusha of the Temple Mount will spread out to what's now present day Old Jerusalem. And Old Jerusalem will spread, and the Kedusha of Jerusalem will spread out to what's biblical Israel. And the Kedusha of biblical Israel will spread out all over the world. Because there won't be anything called unholy anymore. The whole world will be called Eretz HaKodesh.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, I'm going to feel really ripped off if Mashiach comes and tells me, oh, by the way, you're getting a nice house in Israel. It happens to be located in Oak Park. Eretz HaKodesh. So I'm not going to be too happy, I'll tell you. I'm going to file my complaint. I got my eye on a villa in East Jerusalem. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Current East Jerusalem. Okay. So so the neshama sheyachlu lehenazel lehasik eiza hasaga v'ha'ara ma'arinzei baruchu ma'kamushu v'macha machar. That what happens when the neshama is in Gan Eden, it's able to comprehend some level of elokus and see that it is elokus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and for that you need to have covers. You want to look at the sun, welder's glasses might work. What is the welder's glasses doing? It's blocking you out. You're not seeing most of anything because it's being blocked out. So what happens when the neshama gets to Gan Eden? There's a whole lot of godliness out there. But he's not getting it. He's getting dependent upon how thick his welder's glasses are, you might say. What kind of mitzvahs did he do in this world? The more mitzvahs, I was talking quantity just at this point, not talking quality, the more mitzvahs that the person does, so then the darker the glasses they get, the more they'll be able to, in fact, he calls it clothing, because it's not just the glasses, because if you're standing out in the sun on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on a hot day, and you got the welder's glasses on, you're looking at the sun, you gotta get sunburned.
Right.
You gotta have good clothing on if you don't want to get sunburned. And so that's what happens now, is that each mitzvah becomes a garment on the soul, covering over the soul, so that the soul can withstand greater levels of godliness and comprehend them. Not just know that it's there. The Malachim are screaming, Ayei Mekayim Kevodoi. You say a Musaf, which means, where's the place of Hashem's glory? Why are they screaming, Ayei Mekayim Kevodoi? Because they don't know. They're saying, where is? Because they know there's some godliness there or someplace, but they haven't got a clue where it is. So they're all barash guddle over there. They're all jumping up and down. Okay, because they know there's something there, but they don't know what exactly it is. Here, we're talking about the neshamas in Gan Eden. They know exactly what it is that they have. And they may even know that there's more, but they're not privileged to any more than what they can. Because it'll have a detrimental effect. The soul will get obliterated. It will.
Right, but with all the clothing, they can not just withstand, but they can enjoy.
Enjoy is the expression which is used, yes. Amma chaya. V'zeu sha'amar rizal, skar mitzvah b'hai amaleka. This is what it says, that the reward for the mitzvah you don't see in this world. It's not here. Now, there are benefits to doing mitzvahs, physical benefits. Okay, Elo hadvarim shadam oichel perasein bo'ilam azeva karen kayemas le'ilam haba. Okay, these are the mitzvahs that a person derives physical benefit from it, but the main reward is held for the world to come. So if a person is saying, you know, I'm doing really good, I do all these mitzvahs and I got all this good stuff coming, it's just flowing in on me, I'm in the groove, the flow is coming down upon me. So that's just the fruit. That's not the main deal. That doesn't even touch the connection. That doesn't mean anything. Okay. Because to have the physical world, which is totally and completely limited, and to have this great amount of tzimtzumim, this contractions of godliness, it would be impossible for all that godliness to enclose itself there were it not for the ten spheres. The ten spheres are the intermediary. It has to go through the channels. Now, there's always the question, wait a minute, Hashem could do anything. Couldn't Hashem create a world without ten spheres? Yeah, Hashem could do anything.
Sure, of course.
And we're even told that if Hashem just said Breishis and nothing more, so that would have also made a creation. Okay? So, but when it says one in the Zohar, it's a very cute line. Not that I'm going to call anything that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai does cute. But it says, he asks it, why is it that you have this whole entire creation process, if Hashem could have done it in one step, without all, you know, you're talking 10 spheres, you're talking 4 worlds, you're talking 10 utterances.
Right.
Hashem could have done the whole thing in one step.
Right.
It says, in order we should be able to talk about it.
Right, there you go.
If Hashem, if the world just came into existence spontaneously,
yes,
without any type of a process whatsoever, not here, and it's one step and that's all it took,
yeah,
that's all we'd be able to talk about.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it used to be we weren't here, now we're here, let's go home.
That's it, yeah.
That's all you'd be able to talk about. Yeah. Like this,
tough to have all these, that.
Now this, that we have all the labels and all of the levels and the worlds, the spheres, etc. So we get to talk about them.
Yes.
The ultimate goal of all of this that we talk about, with all these different levels of spirituality, is to make us aware of what we don't yet know.
Learn, connect, yeah, sure.
Okay, because if it would be that the world was just created in one step, you would say, oh, we didn't used to be here, now we're here. All I need to know. Yes, it's as far as it goes.
Bada bing, bada bing.
Okay? But if you're going to tell me about 10 spheres, I'm going to have to talk about 10 spheres, and then I'm going to talk about 4 worlds with 10 spheres, and I'm going to talk about Keser and the relationships, things above Keser, and all these things are giving me a clue how the whole thing is coming about.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a lifelong goal.
Yeah.
Chesed Derua Yamina. One second. I'm going to stop soon. Chesed Derua Yamina, that the kindness is on the right side and the severity is on the left side, etc. Latifa Kamosha Ain Arach Loi Lahaguf Hagashmi Lagavi Haneshama Kach Ain Arach Klal Yitzvirus Tatsilus Lagavi Hamaitzel Yim Borahu Ain Sel Borahu. It's just like it is, there is no comparability between the soul and the body.
Right.
The soul is a totally unlimited, pristine expression of Hashem. And the body is dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sticking the two together, and you couldn't have a greater composite of opposites in any way, shape, or form. That's it. It doesn't get any more from one extreme to the other. So this says, and they get stuck together. So too it is. And the point being, though, is that the soul has no comparability to the body. So too it is with the godliness is clothed in the world. Mm-hmm. Even in, we're not talking about now this physical world. We're talking the 10 spheres of Atzilus. The 10 spheres of Atzilus compared to the Emanator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no comparability whatsoever.
Is that like the idea, like the other worlds are like an embarrassment?
Yep. Yeah. That's why it says, he's going to use that line over here too, that where you find Hashem's greatness, there you find his humility.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, and that's why Hashem, when he went to the creation process, he didn't stop at Atzilus.
Right.
And the Zohar gives a reason there also, because that for Hashem is considered an embarrassment. That's all he could do.
Oops.
The only thing you could do is create some realm that is just has this bit of godliness, even though it's 10 spheres and they're blim mave ein lahem sof, as it says in Sefer Yetzirah, that there's 10 of them and they have no composition and they're infinite, but it's kindness, it's not severity, and it's severity, not truth.
Right.
Okay, it's all very, very limited. So there's no point of comparability between the true infiniteness of Hashem, who's the Meitzel Baruch Hu, and even the world of Atzilus,
yeah,
which is very limited compared to Hashem. And this is where we're going to stop. We are on the third line of page 400, to be continued.